If you moved it across the street, it would fall apart. And that's the part the artist is proudest of. When did fragility become the whole point?
I think it's more like the building or the light angle or the cathedral's echo. They're not really obstacles the artist had to work around. They're collaborators who already had an opinion, and the artist's job was just to finish their sentence. That's actually what we're talking about in issue number 79 of the Intersect newsletter. It's called What the Building Knew First. We've got a Guinness record glass cloud 8 stories tall in a Manila atrium, a David Bowie immersive room in London, 2 sets of street art that let the city and nature finish the work, and Moment Factory turning cathedrals into light shows tuned to the building's own echo.
So let's get into this glass sculpture.
There's a glass sculpture in Manila that holds a Guinness World Record. It's 8 stories tall, more than 13 metric tons, over 16,000 individual glass tubes, and every single one was cut and woven by hand.
Wow, that's incredible.
The piece is called Mangrove by Nicholas Weinstein Studios in the atrium of the Solaire Resort in Manila, Philippines. It's the world's largest glass tube installation. Weinstein didn't set out to break records, though. He wanted visitors to become part of the sculpture. In his words, the idea became environmental. Instead of just looking at something in the middle of the space, like a piece on a podium, I was really interested in making something where you could move through it, above it, and around it. He calls the first sight of it a beast. The inspiration came from the atrium light shining down from above and the root system of the mangrove tree. The thing is, the piece only reads correctly under that one atrium's light. Move it across the street, it just dies.
Though it's both intensely site-specific and a technical marvel, how does something so custom get built?
Even though it's handcrafted, Weinstein is an early tech adopter. Organic forms start as sketches, then move into Rhino 3D. But anything that hits physical reality, dimensions, tolerances, hardware, structure, goes into Autodesk Fusion. Engineer Jonah Burns said, and I'm quoting him here, "As soon as that organic shape needs to meet a hard reality, we move into Fusion. It becomes real there." They worked with engineering firm Arup, and they could redesign a cable tensioning component, print it or machine it, physically test it, run analysis, and send updates back within hours, sometimes multiple iterations before lunch. Their New York and San Francisco shops stayed synced through the same model. They even built a parametric welding jig generator that turned 53 tedious custom designs into tweaking one common parametric base. And they've gone further, building custom machines, a sectional kiln hoisted piece by piece into a historic New York building to slump straight tubes into curves, a glass grooving machine, and 2 machines that work almost like a loom, threading and cross-weaving cable through hundreds of tubes. Weinstein said, "No one else is going to want these machines. They're perfectly built for the kind of crazy things that only we would want to do."
Our curator, Jürgen, he actually flagged a specific line from the Weinstein interview, that the work was amazing but also harrowing. He said it connected to his own career, where the most exciting opportunities came bundled with not knowing if he could actually pull them off.
And that's exactly it. The Frank Gehry collaboration mattered not just for Gehry's name, because Gehry gave a young, untested glass artist a tremendous amount of latitude. Weinstein said he lucked out. It makes you wonder if being pushed into real discomfort, but also being given a safe space to maybe fail a little, is often what produces the best work and clears out imposter syndrome.
Before we get to the rest, a quick word on why we do this.
The Intersect is about the place where tech shapes art and art shapes tech, without the hype and without the doom. The Weinstein story is a perfect example. Custom-built robots and a Guinness record, all in service of something fragile and hand-woven. If that mix is your thing, our newsletter is weekly, curated, and free of cheerleading. You can subscribe at theintersect.art.
Okay, second story, and it's a complete change of register. Finally, an immersive 360 room that isn't another Van Gogh or Monet projection.
Right? This spring, a new immersive experience dedicated to David Bowie is opening in London's Lightroom, putting viewers inside his creative mind. It's a 360-degree room built to surround you. The piece first appeared in Aesthetica magazine. It's another example of the theme. The room exists to wrap around you and let the space carry the feeling. The work truly belongs to that room.
Jürgen was pretty clear on this one, saying, who decided immersive rooms have to be the same handful of painters on rotation? Bowie counts, and the soundtrack alone changes everything.
I agree. There's a real difference between projecting paintings versus building a space around a musician. Sound fills a room in a way a still image can't, which is its own kind of sight specificity.
From a room built around you to art that lets something living take the last move.
This connects back to the glass tuned to atrium light or the Bowie room. This is art that hands off control, except here the collaborator is a tree, a weed, a fallen log.
It's a roundup of 10 photos from Street Art Utopia, where street art isn't finished until nature joins in. Nature isn't a backdrop, it becomes wild hair, a funny face, a secret forest, a visual joke. The pieces only work when the artist stops fighting the surroundings and lets a leaf or a branch complete the image.
Jürgen noted that when he pictures street art, he usually thinks city walls, and it genuinely surprised him to see the same theme and approach playing out with plants and trees instead of concrete. It really makes you think about handing the final move to nature and trusting it to do better than the artist would.
Same wager, different collaborator. This time, it's the city itself. What if the smartest street art doesn't need a blank wall at all, but needs that exact spot to exist?
This is another 10-photo street art utopia roundup, but here the city finishes the idea. Think about a road sign becoming the Last Supper, or concrete steps hosting a tiny chalk drama, a green hedge becoming a cozy blanket, barbed wire turned into the material itself. Ordinary spots become part of the art. There's no high-tech angle here, and that's the point. This is the cheap version of the same bet Weinstein and Moment Factory are making with millions of dollars of engineering. A crack in the pavement, a hedge, a strand of barbed wire. The place already had an idea, and the artist finished the sentence.
Jürgen really loved this. He said there's no explicit technology here, but he loves the idea of taking the environment, the architecture, or a natural feature, and transforming one thing into another. It does make you wonder if this kind of work is humble or just better at listening than the rest of us, and whether portability was ever really a virtue or whether we just confused works everywhere with good. Last one, and the building doesn't just inspire it, the building helps compose it. Picture this, soaring stone, projected light moving across the vaults of a centuries-old cathedral, the sound swelling into the space.
This is Moment Factory's Aura series. It's a permanent collection of site-specific multimedia installations from Paris to Montreal, redefining the relationship between a sacred space and the people inside it. This story first appeared in Your Design Mag. The key detail that nails the issue theme. The scores are tuned to the building's roughly 10-second acoustic reverberation. That means the cathedral's own echo is composing alongside the artists. Move it to a room with different acoustics and it just falls apart.
Jürgen actually has a personal connection to this. He visited the Sagrada Familia in Barcelona a few years back, where late afternoon sunlight set off spectacular lighting effects inside the space. He wasn't prepared for how it hit him. He felt emotional, and people around him were actually crying.
And that's the proof of the whole issue right there. A building can do something to you that no portable file ever could because the feeling is bolted to that exact place and light.
So where does all that leave us?
It really ties all these works together, doesn't it? The glass cloud tuned to one atrium, the Bowie room built to surround you, the street art finished by a leaf or a hedge, the cathedral scored by its own echo. The shared thread is that none of it could exist anywhere but where it is. Maybe portability was never the virtue we assumed, and the best work is just the work that listens hardest. For more from the place where art and tech meet, find the newsletter and podcast at theintersect.art.